Thank you so much for listening to Elevated. I really appreciate it. And welcome back if you just tuned in, just in time for me to introduce you to a woman that I know quite well. She's one of the ladies that speak in my ear at work. She's an executive producer, an author, a creative force committed to telling stories that matter. I'm talking about Maroti Kutu, years of experience in media and storytelling, a very sharp instinct and sense for narratives that reflect real life in its raw, unfiltered form as well. And we're here today to talk about her debut book, The Things We Don't Talk About. It's a powerful and intimate reflection on the silences we carry, the fears, heartaches, and unspoken struggles that shape us. Maroti, thank you so much for your time here on Radio Pulpa today, and welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I know you as a producer. As I said to our listeners, you often speak in my ear. But when you are not at ENCA, at work, in your producer era, with your producer hat on, who is Maroti?
Maroti is a young lady from Pretoria. I am mother to my 11-year-old boy. I'm also a student. I'm studying through UNISA. I'm a journalist, just really a lady who's trying to find her way in life.
You have a very big passion for people. Tell me about your studies, Maroti, why you chose that direction and what you believe your calling is.
I am currently studying development studies and public administration because after spending time in a newsroom for so many years, telling stories of what people are going through out there, I would actually like to go into civil society. I'd like to go into the public sector and be a part of the solution. It cannot be that, I've been doing this for so many years and I've been exposed to so much suffering and challenges that people go through, and I just sit back. For me, that doesn't sit well with me. And that's one of the reasons why I am equipping myself in this way by studying development studies and public administration. This is part of my preparation to transition into that journey at some point in my life.
You speak about the difficult times that you've gone through, and in your bio, you also speak about the book and how it would speak to anyone who's ever wrestled with silence and selfhood as well. If you could take us into confidence about those difficult times of discovering yourself, the difficult times of discovering the depression and anxiety that you're dealing with.
So one of the issues I speak about in the book is grieving the life that you thought you would one day be living, or grieving the loss of a loved one. I actually have a chapter where I speak about loss as well. And one of my most life's defining moment was the loss of my sister in 2016. That was when I sought therapy for the first time in my life, and only to find that my therapist was going to tell me that I had been living with depression and anxiety since dating back to around 2012. That was a shocker for me, but it wasn't surprising, because when she explained, what depression and anxiety is, I could tell I had been living with it, but I wasn't on any medication, I wasn't seeking any help. And that for me, in as much as it was so hard to lose my sister, it brought me to a place where I am right now, where I've been in therapy, I am on medication, and it has helped. That was the push that I needed to get to where I am today.
Maroti, what would you say to somebody who might be struggling with getting themselves to a place where they can get up and go seek help? Maybe they're finding themselves in a very dark place right now. They are down and out. They're struggling to just get out of bed. What would you say to them, even those who are struggling with some of the stigmas around mental health?
First thing that I've read, and it's probably going to sound like a cliche, but it's so true. Depression hates a moving target. If you are struggling to even get out of bed, have one small goal for the day: to take a shower or to take a walk around your yard, and achieve that goal, because depression hates a moving target. Once you go against it, you are challenging it. You are challenging those negative thoughts. But also, one of the reasons why I wrote the book is because sometimes it's easier to get a book instead of talking to someone else. And the book really for me is, it creates a platform, a sisterhood for women to sit and say, "I see you, I hear you," to validate one another's thoughts. We go through so much that we don't talk about, especially after COVID. People have lost homes, people have had to downsize, people have had to change their lifestyles so much because of how business was impacted. And we have had to go through so much. It's important to reach out, to have a support system, and to speak about these things. It's not healthy to be carrying so much around.
What is it that helped you to finally get to that point of actually writing this book, though, the things we do not talk about? Because you've gone through all this personal experiences yourself, and I love the content of the book. I love the way you name the chapters. But getting to this point where you say, you know what, Maruti, now is the time, sit down and write the book. What helped you get to that point, Maruti?
Sure. So at first I wasn't meant to be publishing this. These were just my own reflections. And then I got carried away, and the thought of actually having a book published got me excited. And that's when I really started to dig deep and think about some of the topics I need to cover, because it just wasn't about me anymore. It wasn't my own personal diary. So the title, the title represents the emotional debris we suppress, not because we want to, but because society teaches women to be strong, to be composed, to be quiet, So for me, the book is an invitation to say, let's sit and talk to one another about the things we are going through.
How does your family feel about you writing the book? Because obviously, they will now get to experience you like we do as well on a different level. They're getting a bit of a glimpse into the innermost personal part of who you are. How do they feel about it?
They've been supportive. I haven't had any negative feedback. The feedback I've re received has been amazing, from friends, family. I'm getting a lot of, "Wow, I'm actually going through this as well," or, "I've been through this." And that for me has achieved the goal. The point of the book is for people to feel seen and validated.
Well, I love some of what you get into. I want us to do that now. And my favorite chapter is probably A Letter to the Body I Live In. Let's talk about that for a moment. Tell our listeners about that chapter without giving too much away.
So that chapter for me, I was exposing some of the systemic exclusions, first of all, that women experience. For example, challenges in the medical field. There's some conditions that are classified as artificial procedures, whereas for us women, it's not just for physical, it's not about physical appearances. It's so much more than that, because some of these conditions, they impact how you carry yourself, how you sit. And having a breast reduction, for example, it alleviates so much pain on a woman. I've never met anyone who's gone through it and say they regret it. Everyone is like, you need to do this. But medical aids don't cover it. And it's so unfair in so many ways. So I wrote that letter as in, you know what, my body, I love you. This is where we are. It's okay. But still, you know, medical field, come to the party.
I think many women will be able to identify with that chapter, certainly, and identify with being in a place where there is something in your body causing you pain, causing you discomfort, and there just seems to be no way out for you. And that is part of what can cause the depression and the negative feelings around self as well. Let's talk about the white lies we tell. Let's talk about that briefly.
The white lies we tell, we don't only lie to other people, we lie to ourselves as well. When somebody asks you, how are you? And you're like, I'm okay. You move on with your life. You know, the normal greetings that we do at work or in a social place. It's so easy for us to just answer and dismiss someone, sorry, and say you are okay. But the question is, are you really okay? And why are you lying to yourself about it? And why are you not talking about it? This is how some of the pressure starts building up within, because we are also working so hard to convince ourselves that we are okay, but we really are not okay. So why do we lie to ourselves? That's a question we need to ask ourselves.
And then another chapter I want you to just give us a glimpse on is filling your own cup. But I also want us to maybe get into your relationship with God, Maruti, and how you spiritually fill your cup, especially in the life that we live in. It's just, we are running 24/7 trying to get somewhere. How you feel gets shoved in the back of the car because you need to keep this car moving and get things done. How do you fill your own cup in this season?
So I have gotten into the habit of journaling. I have forced myself to have a nighttime routine when I know from 7:30 I'm winding down. I need to read the Bible. I need to journal as well. And I need time to pause and pray. In the morning, what I usually do is I woke up a bit extra early. Again, a scripture or two, and on my way to work, I'm worshiping. That's how I pick myself up. But more than anything, it's become a daily ritual for me that in the morning I listen to gospel music. I've got favorites, and I'm also discovering other new artists as well. But the biggest thing for me has been my nighttime routine, going to bed with a clear mind, reflecting on what happened on the day, what needs to be done tomorrow, and also where I am emotionally. I find guided journals to be quite helpful, but I also just write down my thoughts, as a whole.
Now, I can't let you go without speaking about the honest reflections on the joys, but also the struggles of raising children, right? That's one of the things that we certainly do not talk about. It's almost when you dare touch on the struggles of being a mother, it's almost like you're ungrateful. Society sees it as, why would you even talk about struggling to raise a child? What made you decide to touch on that theme as well and to open up in that regard, Maruti?
You know, we're living in a time where our kids are exposed to so much out there, that it's not easy to shield your child away from what is happening in the broader society. So even when you are instilling morals and values and trying to teach your kids to do the right thing and how to be this kind of person, they are exposed to other kids, to other elements, to other energies as well. And the challenge for me is protecting my child from those experiences. And what I find helps with us, we talk. My son is quite outspoken. I have taught him to use his words. His vocabulary is quite good. So he knows how to express himself. And it's challenging to be a parent in this day and age, in the days of social media, where kids are so, what do they say? They are woke. Kids are so woke. And my son who's in primary school will tell you about a classmate who brought a vape to school. And I'm like, what is this? It's scary. It truly is scary.
It is absolutely scary, and if we don't have the grace and the wisdom of God, I'm not sure how we're going to be able to navigate it. And thank you for pouring out some of your wisdom in this book as well. Let's perhaps land it at this myth of the strong black woman, something that you also touch on in your book. How do we break this myth of the strong black woman? We always talk about breaking the myth of the fact that boys don't cry and men need to be strong. But as women of color, we also go through this thing where there's this perception created that you must just be the strong black woman and get it done, Maroti.
And you know what? That needs to change because we have had to be strong for so long. We have had to be strong. We have had to work twice as hard to get half of what, other people have achieved. And there's still those systemic exclusions that exist. Black women should be recognized for who they are, for what they stand for. We bring so much more to the table other than just being strong. We are at a place where we are ready to be received as soft women who want to bring their vulnerability and their softness to the table. But we can't do that if it is not being accommodated. We need to be accommodated. And as much as we are trying to take our place at the table, we need others to be able to get to where we feel we are comfortable with ourselves, to represent ourselves as who we are.
Well, thank you so much for making yourself vulnerable and sharing so that others could become that soft, gentle woman that God has created us to be. And many who have reviewed your book says that it is like a warm hug. Thank you for giving us a warm hug in this season. If somebody's listening and they would like to get their hands on the things we do not talk about by you, Maroti Kutu, how do we do that? How do we get in touch?
Listeners can get a copy on my website, www.mskutu.co.za, misskutu.co.za.
Appreciate your time, Maroti. Thank you so much. That website is mskutu, mskutu.co.za. Have a blessed day, Maroti, and I can't wait for more people to get this book and to talk about the things that we don't talk about. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.